But anyway, let's get actually started. So my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in SharePoint engineering. Now that the BNP ownership has been moved from cross organizations within Microsoft, and SharePoint actually owns BNP. It doesn't mean anything else rather than the ownership. We will still be doing stuff in Microsoft Graph and in Office 365, and obviously in SharePoint Online and on premises as well within the BNP initiative. These calls typically work in a way that we go through the agenda, or we go through the summary in the from a monthly perspective. So what has happened within the past month within the BNP initiative? What is the new stuff? What is the changes? If there's anything else to talk about around those topics, what are the numbers and all of that stuff? And then we move into the demos. So this time again, we have three different demos coming up, one from Patrick, one from Mortens, and then one from Ruddy. And hopefully we can get everybody joining on a call without any challenges from a communication or connectivity perspective. Now, before we actually get started, so just to clarify how we typically do this, so I'll be talking like 20 minutes, and then we move to the demo section. So if you have any questions while I'm talking, and while we are doing presentation, you can always use the iron window for questions. So just now, there's a some messages around. Okay, there's a audio is still fine, or connecting for some of the people. There seems to be some small technical glitches in the connection. Hopefully, it will remain properly during the presentation. So let's get actually ongoing. Just to kind of clarify one more time, making sure that everybody understands what the BNP is all about. So the SharePoint Patterns and Practices, or Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, is a community-driven initiative where we, as a part, together with community and Microsoft, build code samples, reusable solutions and components, provide guidance documentations. We have these monthly community calls where we go through always what has happened within the past month. This is kind of a one-way channel of communicating towards the community. And then we do have a separate bi-weekly office hours where you can ask questions. For example, if you have challenges around within your implementation project, you can join on those bi-weekly office hours and ask questions, technical questions from the core team members. We do have also case studies with Blue Meteor and Volvo Cars. The themes are SharePoint Framework. Well, it's not quite yet there. SharePoint Framework will be released for first release tenants during this summer, or first parts of the SharePoint Framework. SharePoint add-ins, obviously, for SharePoint Online and on-premises as well, Microsoft Graph and Office 365 development in general. AKMS, SharePoint BNP or Office Dev BNP, both will land you to the same location right now. And we're looking into evolve that page or the section in the future as well. So, and this is a kind of a similar kind of a let's say summary slide on different kind of resources around the BNP. The AKMS Office Dev BNP is the one URL where you find links to all of these locations. But we have Channel 9 videos, which we are kind of a considering to moving to YouTube in the future, in autumn, which is a completely different topic. So let's not actually spend too much time on that one. MSDN pages where you can participate and contributing to the guidance as well. Yammer group, which is the most active developer Yammer group in the Office 365 tenant. A Twitter account, community calls, a lot of GitHub repositories, which are containing different kind of elements. Docs.com, already this presentation, which you're seeing presented in here, is available from the docs.com/officedevbnp. So you can download the presentation for future usage, or if you like any of the graphics, feel free to use them any way you want. And then the BNP Partner Pack is one of the, let's say, showcase applications, which are showing how to build typical SharePoint customizations within Office 365. And that's evolving in the future as well. One thing that we always also want to kind of remind people is the how to find the guidance and the BNP samples, because there's so many links and resources available. The easiest way to do this is to go to dev.office.com/bnp. Or dev.office.com and choose resources and patterns and practices. And in there, you have samples as guidance, where you are able to then contribute contribute to the or see what's actually being contributed. Interesting. Now let's double check. Your people can actually hear me fine in the audio. Audio has been good in the start. Good. Okay. So it's a connectivity issues for some of the people. There seems to be something slightly so some glitches within the Skype, unfortunately, on server side today. Good. So let's continue. Everything is getting recorded anyway, so you can always watch the recording later on if needed. Good. So in this month, the BNP webcast and the videos. So if you go AKMS Office Dev BNP videos, you'll land at the Channel 9 section. We had five is explicit webcasts, which were getting started at the web stack in SharePoint development. And that's kind of a showing the future way how we do development within the SharePoint framework if you're moving to the custom, if you start building customizations using SharePoint framework. The follow-up webcast was around SharePoint framework itself. So how do we actually get started with SharePoint framework? Introductions to the bulk UBA custom profile properties update API is more towards the IT pros, but it's a development API as well. So it helps on updating user profile attributes within a SharePoint Online user profile store. Preparing for SharePoint framework, what should I learn? And then the last one is the introduction for Microsoft Craft.NET SDK. Actually, we do have one more, which I somehow magically missed from the list, or I accidentally did it added there. Actually, it was released yesterday, which is the introduction to SharePoint webhooks. So it's kind of a released in the after the June release, and that's why it's not listed in the summary here. But if you go to the AKMS Office Dev BNP videos, you can have a look on what's available within the Channel 9 for you to download and rewatch as you want. Month-over-month statistics, we are growing. So the key numbers here to look quickly look on. Well, obviously, Yammer groups are growing quite steady. The unique visitors are always unique visitors across all of the BNP repositories within the past 2 weeks. And that's now going slightly up from the previous month. So we're starting I think we crossed 11,000 from a monthly, last 2 weeks unique visitors perspective. And then the pull requests and forks are increasing. This is a cumulative number, so it's increasing in a relatively stable way. And then the BNP core component NuGet downloads are moving ahead quite normally as well. Good. I can unfortunately say that there are some audio challenges still with some of the people, but again, this is getting recorded, so you're able to watch this hopefully later on with the recordings. One thing what we started doing tracking from April, so we do add, if you're using a BNP core component, see some core component, we're using the client tag to actually add an additional entry, which is telling us what methods and also what if you're using the BNP core component. So we're able to kind of get a number on the server side in the SharePoint Online side, how many people and how many tenants are actually using core component. And during May, it was more than 1,400 tenants who were using actually core components as CSAM core component. And then that resulted more than 44 million requests altogether. That is most likely growing quite fast in the future as well. The number is going to get bigger because we added this tracking in the April release. So if you are currently using an older release, then the tracking is not there. And more and more people are using the newer releases as well. Nice comments on the iron window. So quick kind of a clarification also from a BNP program perspective. We do have a BNP Yammer group, which is the most active dev group in the Office 365 network, like mentioned. We are piloting now special interest groups, and these are more kind of a specialized groups where a group of people are talking about specific things. Like, for example, we are piloting this with JavaScript development, where this virtual team is creating this client-side core component for JavaScript. And also there's a weekly calls where we talk about the client-side development in general, including the upcoming SharePoint framework. We do have also bi-weekly office hours. So if you have questions around the BNP, or you can't, well, you have a technical challenge which you need to have some assistance, these are bi-weekly typically. But last one of these will be tomorrow on 15th of June, and after that we'll have a summer break for the BNP crew as well. A lot of us will be between vacations and not on vacations, and that's why we will kind of have a break within the BNP work, at least in the releases perspective during July, except for the JavaScript special interest group, because Patrick is so excited about leading that. And the monthly community calls, aka MS Office Dev BNP call, this is the last one, which is actually within that monthly community call recurrent schedule. We'll publish a new ICS invite around late July or early August. So you'll get an updated links for the next fiscal year as well. Good. June 2016 release, new and updated samples. So we do have quite a lot of new samples as well and quite a lot of updates. So there's the BNP.js core, which is a sample showing how the BNP JavaScript core library actually works. Which is it's actually the core library is released as an npm package as well, and we're going to show see that one today live from Patrick. There was a core.download multiple files JS, and this is something really interesting. It's kind of a classic question that people are asking, that I would like to be able to download multiple files in a zip file from my SharePoint online, and that's actually showing how that can be done using then JavaScript. And there's an additional slide showing coming up where we show what that actually means in practice. There's also the businessapps.office365 project apps, and this is actually containing code samples for the upcoming book, Programming Office 365, which is coming from Microsoft Press, written by our very own Paolo Pialorossi. So Paolo is one of the core team members in the BNP initiative as well. And that contains a lot of good examples, which you can take a look into as well. Then there's the ASP.NET Core authentication, and this is ASP.NET Core implementation of Token Helper and SharePoint Context. And we're looking into the interest around this one. So right now it's inside of the BNP main repository, but if people are interested on using these components in their ASP.NET Core implementations, then we'll absolutely spin this out as to an own repository, so that we can version that individually and we can do development together with community individually as well. And then there's quite a lot of updates on the existing samples as well. From a core and engine update perspective, there's a lot of updates in the core. There's, for example, one well, really easy ways of enabling a responsive UI package in the existing SharePoint Online or SharePoint on-premises deployments. So as long as you have a reference to the core component, you'll just run an enable responsive UI or disable responsive UI in a web component, a web object, and voila, all of the stuff will be executed for you automatically. And there's other stuff there as well, so converting a folder to document sets search center URLs and so on. There's the core.js version 1.0 is officially out in a GitHub, so that has been released as an npm package, and Patrick is going to show that one in practice during the demo in this call. BNP partner pack, not that many changes within the business month, but we are kind of preparing for the BNP partner pack 2.0, so there is adjustments already happening here and there. BNP provisioning engine, there's actually quite a lot of changes in here, and there's one really cool thing. So the BNP provisioning engine supports now OpenXML-based templating, and what we mean with that one is that you can save a template as an OpenXML format, and that one file will contain the template, which is the XML, if you serialize that, including all of the assets. So including, for example, the images and all of that stuff as well. And then a lot of stuff in the PowerShell side as well. So all of the areas are evolving quite nicely, which is a great thing. We did have a significant amount of contributors during the last month. I didn't actually count the number. I should have probably counted the number in here as well. But you can see that there's a massive amount of external contributors within this list. I'm not going to mention this time all of you by name, but we absolutely appreciate your contributions towards and towards the community. So your contributions are absolutely helping others to succeed as well. And yes, Dragan, you are absolutely on the slide as well. One of the things what we started in May is that we started also showing the images of the companies who've given their employees permission to spend some of their time in the BNB initiative. And these are the companies who we got an approval to show their logo as well. So if you are a contributor and your company is not here, but you want to have your company mentioned in the dev.office.com blogs or in this monthly community calls in the future, just send us an email or a private Yammer message, so we're able to actually recognize your company, which is letting you to actually contribute on the BNB as well. And Paolo quickly counted that there's 45 contributors within this month. In the Microsoft side, if I remember correctly, there we go. We have the typical crew like Anton, Spurt, Brian, Dan, Frank, Kiki, Laura, Neil, Patrick, Roy, and me. And then we have a few others which are not part of the PMP core team. Alex Randall has been quite active on the JavaScript side. David Ray as well. Mike Morrison on the JavaScript core component side, and Roberto Sonnino as well in that same initiative. And yes, Vert, I absolutely want more private Yammer messages. One of the things what I mentioned already in the previous slides, and sorry for kind of a rushing on the slides, but I want to make sure that we have time for the demos as well, because there's good demos coming on, was to download multiple files using JavaScript. So this is included in the June release coming from Anton's. Anton's one of the core team members. And this is actually giving us the capability or adding those two new items in the library view. Where we have download all and download all as zip. So you're able to actually select multiple files and click download all as zip, and then you're able to download those files as zip file, and you're able to then use or whatever you want to use that zip file for. Quite nice implementation or sample, which you can then take into use within your deployments as well. BNP OpenXML package for templates, a really great thing, and really great thing what was implemented, mainly by Paolo and Irvin. So this is a unique package with all of the template files. And the whole point is that if you persist branding assets and the template from the BNP provisioning engine, you actually get a BNP file. And therefore, you can much more easily send the BNP file to somebody else for using that maybe in their deployments, or then copy that template across your own individual environments as well. And this is actually implemented to get ready for the upcoming template gallery. So we're looking into releasing this open source templating gallery where people are able to publish their open source templates, BNP provisioning templates available for others to consume as well. And we're looking into having a digital signature on the package as well. What it actually means is that we have a BNP file, which is an OpenXML file format. So it is actually .bnp and it has its own icon. If we extract that as a zip file, we can actually see the internals of the BNP file. It's almost like the classic cap file for WSP packages or an app file for the add-ins. And then you're able to actually see those individual assets inside of the BNP file as well. So in the past, if you were persisting a branding assets together with your template and you wanted to export them out, you actually got multiple files. This way, we actually have a one file which is containing all of the assets, so you're able to then actually reuse that file and manipulate that file more easily. And then the PMP SharePoint JavaScript library 2.0, 2.1, sorry, not 1.00, is coming from the PMP special interest group for JavaScript. And this is essentially just helping to do development and JavaScript development on top of SharePoint. So we're able to quite easily access, for example, lists and items in a list. The second example is a good example, require PMP, function PMP. You're able to do pmp.sp.web.list get by title, and you get the documents list. And then you're from there, you're able to update, for example, the title of that list based on your preference. Or you wanna loop in all of the items within the list, you're able to do that quite easily as well. The terminology or let's say the API is kind of affluent, and it's designed in a way that it's kind of a mimics in some level the thinking from a server-side object model as well. So we're able to do things like sp.web.lists and get by title, or sp.web.lists and ensure, which will make sure that that list will exist within the site as well. One final things before we go to the demo section, contribute to PMP MSDN guidance. This is a really big thing. We're finally getting there. So this is now fully live. Every single PMP guidance article in MSDN has a contribute link. If you click that link, you'll land to the GitHub, to the corresponding MD file within the GitHub. And you're able to update that file or suggest an update to that file, and then submit the pull request, which then people in the PMP side and the Microsoft side will have a look. And if your pull request will get approved, you will be mentioned as a contributor for that particular article. So that's actually going to help significantly on people assisting on providing this community-driven guidance for the future. Good. Quick kind of an update on summer. We will have a break from a monthly community calls. During summer, we will have a break from the bi-weekly office hours. We will continue working on the GitHub and in Yammer unless we are actually on vacation. But we're looking into moving, for example, targeting the new schema support, the latest schema support to be available around August 2016. And there's a lot of other stuff happening in the PMP side as well. And I think it's actually time to go to the demos. Now, I can see that there's some audio challenges here and there, and we lost half of the audience for the sake of the audio challenges. So there seems to be a server-side challenges this time within the link. I'm just double-checking that we have Ruddy on the call. Ruddy might have some connection challenges on getting to the call, but at least we have Patrick and Morten in the call to do their demos on this side. So let's actually start with Patrick, because I can see that Patrick has an audio connection and should be fine to go.
Sample, and that'll actually fire up the Yeoman generator. There are a few installation steps that need to be done. So we've got those outlined. And like I said, this is a super simple Yeoman generator. It was just kind of a bootstrap to get people started. This would be a great area for folks if you'd like to contribute. Would love to see some folks put together some better Yeoman generators, some Yeoman templates folks can use. For example, we could have a Yeoman generator around React. Somebody wanted to put together one that created kind of a React project or a knockout project, something like that. I think those would be great contributions. I am certainly not saying this is the best Yeoman generator ever made, but it was just something to get people started. So you can come over here and you can follow these steps. And the last one is just pasting in these script tags. And then what that's going to do is allow you to somewhat simulate SharePoint framework development model is going to be like. And this is going to take a while. It's going to install my dependencies and things for me. But I've already done this here. And what you'll see is it's a super simple template. Like I said, we've got some basic things set up with some gulp commands. And then a few other things. So we've got a TS config set up for folks. One thing to note in here, we've set the module resolution to node. We'll talk about what that does here in a second. We've got a TS lint file, which again, This is just a sample. You can choose to use this or not, though TSLint I found to be very helpful. We've got some typing set up. And then we're using another product or another library called Webpack to do our actual kind of packaging of the solution, as well as doing kind of the live testing of the solution. So real quick, to take a look at this, we've got an app.ts, and this is all TypeScript, which is going to get transpiled over into JavaScript for release. But what I've done is I've imported jQuery, and I've imported something from our Hello World file, and then I'm using jQuery and getting a div and saying this message in the div. So if I go over here, we have a command for gulp serve. And what this is going to do is going to build the solution, and then it's going to start a local in-memory server. So we're not actually writing at this point any files to the file system. This is running all in-memory. And you can see it shows you all the files that it built, as well as then at the top here the files it generated. So an app.js and an app.js .map for debugging. And so if we look here at the page, you can see we've got hello world and a nice big random string. And that came from our hello world TypeScript. And so what we can actually do in here is 100 characters, I think, is far too many. So I'm just going to change that to 20. I'm going to hit save. And if we go back to our command window, we'll see this message got emitted. The bundle is now invalid. It got rebuilt. And Webpack is pretty smart. And you'll see it didn't rebuild all of the things. It just rebuilt the things that, by its judgment, could have changed or might be affected by the change. And so that's happened. And down at the bottom, we'll see the bundle is now valid. We can refresh our page, and instantaneously, we can see our changes to that have taken effect here. So this is simulating very much what the SharePoint framework development experience is going to be like. It's going to be a little bit different from this. You won't be pasting script tags into pages. There's going to be the new canvas and things like that. But this is a way to kind of jump in and get started. I'm doing simple stuff here with jQuery. Again, Angular, React, Knockout, Handlebars, use whatever framework you want. That will all transition over to the new SharePoint framework development as well. So to show you then, so this is kind of the sample of what's going on with just this little sample app, but I do want to show you kind of some stuff with the new library we've put out at version 1. So you can see up here at the top, we can do much more than just generating random strings, but that's always kind of my hello world. So you can see I've imported the PNP library here. I've also imported distinct classes. So this is a feature of TypeScript modules. I can actually reach into that NPM package, and I can import specific modules, in this case item, list, and one of our helper classes, an OData entity array. And what that's going to do is some parsing for us. And so let's walk through that. And so what we've done, let me actually come over here, and I'm going to comment this and uncomment that and comment that. Comment that and uncomment that. So we've got that stuff. We're ready to go. And let's look at what we're actually doing. So we're running our sample. And the first thing we do is we come in and we call this .ensure list. And what that is a method I've written that returns a promise. So one of the things you're going to see in our library and in the SharePoint framework and really in kind of all of web development now in general is this idea of everything is asynchronous and done with promises and the act of chaining those promises together. So that's one of the big key concepts of getting into the client development is understanding this idea of asynchronous programming and promises. So this ensure list does exactly what it says, and it ensures we have a list. And the first thing we do is using our Fluent API. So one of our big goals was to make this easy and intuitive for folks coming over to the SharePoint world. So you can say pnp.sp.web, and I can show you real quick. By importing this, you get the IntelliSense. And because we've built out this Fluent API, at every point, all the methods you see are things you can do on that object. So on the web, I can do all these different things. I can get catalogs. I could delete it. All your standard operations, all the REST API operations are covered. And then they follow kind of that same pattern. So web has lists. And then this is actually a method we added because ensuring a list exists is a very common action developers take. And we're really looking to simplify these common actions a lot, similar to what was done with the CSOM managed code patterns and practices library, really looking to help developers focus on what they want to get done and not kind of the nuts and bolts details of how that's going to happen. So I'm going to ensure my list is the PNP example list, and I'll actually do two. And then is so promises, if you're familiar with jQuery, jQuery had done. So promises work with then. So you essentially chain them together by saying, do this action then, do this other action. And in our library, we get a result back. And one of the features one of the properties we give you is this boolean for created. And that means on this call to ensure we created the list. And what that does is then let you do some additional actions. In our case, we're going to add one item to the list. You could add fields. You could add other items. We've got samples of that in the sample add-in I showed on a previous monthly call. So you can check that out as well. And then you can see we're resolving that promise with the list itself. So we'll bounce back up. So once we ensure list, then we take that list and we can chain directly off that list and do additional REST queries. So we're going to say items. We're going to select the title of all the items. There should only be one, but we're just going to get one. Then we're going to get it as typed. So this get as provides some additional typing information. And what that does is say, get me an array of this type of example item. And so you can see I've got my example item class here at the bottom that extends item. So we're inheriting from something in the patterns and practices library, building on top of that, and saying item has a title. I could have 10, 100 different properties, whatever matches the fields on my list item. And the same thing applies for all the other entities as well. We'll take a look at that. But then we can see up here, I get an item, and my item, it type checks in TypeScript to understand my example item title has a string. Is of type string or has a property string, and this items array I know is going to come back typed as an array of example item instances. So we get that typing by using get as and by using these OData entity parsers. There's one for array and one for entity. So we'll run that. And with any luck. And we had no luck. Did we have a build error? Look real quick. Nope. Package is valid. We'll refresh one more time. See if we... Did I actually uncomment all the things?
So the demo cards and the audio cards and the network cards are against us today. So.
Yes. I'm recording on my side. Maybe we can splice it in later or we can just get something going in today. But so then the second example I wanted to show is a little bit more complex example. And this is using get as again to type our results. But we're using both the entity and getting webs back and the array to get lists and to get items. And we're showing you can order lists. So all the collections are orderable and we can get the top 10 lists sorted by title. And then for each one, we can get the top three items. This is just kind of a, you know, fairly basic example. But you can see we're extending these different classes coming out of the web. Somebody's saying, I commented out jQuery. Hey, perfect. Thank you very much. It's interesting that built, but there you go. And if we go back, we should see our example run. Hopefully, no, well, it's just not our day. So we'll come back, and then you can see in the SharePoint, we've got, we're again using jQuery in here, getting our class, and then doing our actions throughout. So a little bit more complicated example. And the last thing I wanted to mention, and this is an update in the latest patch that came out, so we're actually at 1.0.1 as of Monday, but we've added this ability to do a pnp.setup. And for right now, the only option is to specify headers. We're going to be adding options as it makes sense and as we grow the library. But this allows you to add any number of headers that will be sent on all of the requests. So you would call this once per page, and then every subsequent REST request would have these headers. So we had a bug where if you're on premises and you don't have JSON Lite enabled, you would need to go ahead and use this setup and set that you want to use the verbose style JSON, and that'll get you working on premises. And then this also opens up the possibility, we've had questions around using authentication, this opens up the possibility of adding your bearer token in here as well. So you can do those sorts of things. And I'm going to see just if we have any luck at all and can do this one. Package is rebuilt. It is. And there we go. So that one worked. So you can see here we're actually getting the verbose style metadata with this request. And if I were to go back and find the right code, if I were to just comment this out, the library will default back to the minimal metadata. So if you have minimal metadata available and configured in your site, you need take no action with setup at this time. It's going to work just as it worked in version 1, just as it worked in all the other samples. But this enables those folks who do have that situation for on-premises where they can go ahead and use the verbose metadata using setup. And like I said, we'll be looking to add additional options in there to help folks kind of get started with configuring the library and as it makes sense for the configuration. And then the last thing I did want to mention is in here, if you do some work on this and you've done your development and you've interacted and refreshed, you can actually do a gulp build. And once you're ready, your stuff is ready to go, you want to put this out. This is actually going to use Webpack and is going to produce for you a single file. You can ignore those warnings. That's a minified app.js. And the way Webpack is set up here currently is very basic. So it's actually packaged in jQuery and the Patterns and Practices library, as well as your application code, all in one JS file. So again, Webpack is very sophisticated. There are ways to point, for example, jQuery or the Patterns and Practices library out to a CDN and things like that. But again, for simplicity's sake, simple, we have bottled it all up or packaged it all up into a single file. So I could then deploy this app.js to my SharePoint site and use it in all of my dependencies and everything, JavaScript, Patterns and Practices. If I were to add Knockout or Angular or React, could all be packaged up in this way and then put out into the world. And And like I said, you could not package everything up. There's definitely lots of ways to optimize these web packs. But this is, again, just very simple, getting started kind of template. Would definitely invite folks who want to create some Yeoman templates to please do. The product group will be releasing Yeoman templates with once the SharePoint framework goes live. There'll be Yeoman templates to create all the different types of things in there. And so Vase is posting some links, which is awesome. And we will be getting completely aligned with the SharePoint framework as it rolls out. So you'll see the library grow, the guidance grow, and all these sorts of samples and things grow. We're always looking for contributions. If you have ideas or if you find issues, please do report them. And with that, I will try and turn it back over to Vesa, depending on how the network Gods.
Audio is fine. I think we are now
Oh,
on
okay.
a one audio stream again. It must have been a Skype server side issue, unfortunately. But anyway, we have 15 minutes, so let's actually switch to Morten. If Morten can do the sharing, and then we'll do a quick look up on Ruddy's sample as well after that.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks
And
all.
thank you, Patrick, for this one. Great stuff. And sorry, Morten, for forcing you to do a quick one, but I think people will, as long as they will see what you're showing, they will realize the value out of it because it's super cool.
Okay, sharing my desktop.
Yep.
Two.
Loading.
You see it?
Not yet.
Okay, I start talking then.
There we go. Yes, got it as
Yeah,
well.
I'm gonna demo some new capabilities in the PMP PowerShell, namely SPO provider. My name is Morten Sandberg, as Tessa said. I'm a senior solution architect at knowitexperience.com. Okay. When working with SharePoint, I quite often like to see the files and artifacts I have, but the tools to navigate the SharePoint file stores feels a bit old and heavy, like SharePoint Design or WebDAV. I often work with SharePoint in PowerShell, and I thought it would be nice to see the files in PowerShell. So first I added a get folder item commandlet, which lets me view folder content. But then I thought it would be nice to view the files like a regular file system. And PowerShell have this concept of providers, where you can view any data store as a file system. Have a few built-in providers like the file system, the registry, or the certificate store. There's a few others, but the best part is you can build your own provider and extend the provider framework. So we did just this. We created an SPO provider in the PMP PowerShell repo, and the provider allows you to navigate SharePoint as a file store. And here you see some of the commandlets implemented by this provider. So let's go for the demo. Here you see I'm connected to SharePoint 2016 on-premise solution just for connectivity issues. Of course, it works with online as well. It's just a standard team site. There you have it. With a few subwebs and a few documents and a few documents libraries. So the first thing you need to do is connect your SharePoint site as a PowerShell drive. And the easiest way to do this is to use the create drive switch in the connect SPO Online command. So if I type like this, create drive, it will create a drive under the SPO name. Now I'm connected to my site. You can also use the new PS drive or remove PS drive directly if you want more control of the drive creation process. You can see the drives here, and here I have the SPO drive. Now let's navigate to our drive. I'm gonna type this, and you see I use set location here for clarity, but normally I use alias for most commandlets. Let's have a look in our root folder here. And there you see some of the sorry, there you see some of the all the false folders, all the files and the subwebs in this root web. You can interact with the individual items as you would with any folder or file object, client object. If you see somewhere in the middle, I have a document library. I can navigate to that one. I can use tab expansion, so I can tab my way around and have some sort of intelligence. But I can start typing my shared documents, and let's see if I have the Word documents there. I use the pause to so there you see it, they have some Word documents, and you can use most of the standard parameters supplied by the provider command, that's like include or recurse. So if I do one more, like recurse, you see I can get all the items all the way down, and I get the standard forms folder as well. You can navigate to subwebs or different site collections as long as they're within the host path. So I can navigate to my subweb like this, and I can do show you the content. It's a, just a standard team site. So let's go back to the root site. Now, handling single items has a few commandlets. They're pretty straightforward, mostly like the, you do, you use them like you do in the file system. You have get the item, so get single item, and output the, directly to the output stream. And you can, of course, put it in a folder, in a variable. I put the folder in a variable folder, and I can do stuff with that if I want to. Then we have you can create items. So here I create a new text file, some text in it, and you can of course create folders. You do, do this like you do in the file system. You type your folder type. You can of course use alias for that, it's faster. So if I do and you see the test, you see the test folder I created and the test file. Now, slightly more complicated. Let's one more thing before I forget. Let's remove those files, and we have the remove command. Let's as well. Let's remove those, or we can use the alias. So now they should be gone. See, no more test folder one, and no more test file two. I think it was test folder two. It was yes. Okay. Over to the copy, move, and rename commandlets. They're a little bit more complicated, but pretty straightforward also. Just type, I use the alias here, I copy the test folder to the copy folder one. We should copy the test folder and level and items level, one level down to the copy one folder. If you want to copy everything under the test folder, you need to use the, you need to use the recurse parameter. So now it will copy everything. And I should have two copy folders somewhere in here. Yeah. And if I do copy, you can see that this folder has just the items on the first level. But if I do it like this, you can see this is copy everything in there. Okay, move works similar as copy, of course. Let's try this one. This will copy move copy folder 2 into the copy folder 1 and rename it to the move folder. And it takes a little while. Now copy folder should 2 should be gone, and we can look in copy folder 1. And there you have it. And I have moved a new folder with a new name. What earlier was copy folder 2. And we have, you can of course copy files or remove files as well, rename is the last one in the copy, move and copy and rename section, and this is just actually a move operation with limitation that source and target needs to be in the same path. So if I do like this, I can copy the file, rename the copy. Did I do a copy file? No, I didn't. I need to make a copy file first. Copy the test file to copy file, and let's rename that file to rename file. and file. Yeah, it's just test actions here. So you should have a ren file in here, and there you have it. So pretty straightforward. Let's clean up a bit. Just remove the file and the copy folder. As you see, the provider framework keeps track of the folder content and show that you're aware of that you're deleting more than just the folder. So now it will delete all the content within under the folder. Okay. Finally, yeah, one more thing about the remove commandlet. The remove commandlet uses the recycle bin, so all the stuff I deleted just now will be in the recycle bin inside. But if you use the force switch, it will do a hard delete and it will be gone. Finally, we have the content commandlets, which of course handle content, file content. You can get some content. I see some HTML from a file I have in the file system. And you can, let's see, I have delete this file first. You can set content with the set content commandlets, and this will create a file if it doesn't exist. And you can add content to the same file. You can append content to an existing file if you use the add content commandlet. So let's look at that. I see it has two lines here. Finally, you see that every the content commandlet by default expect the input to be in text format, but we have a switch is binary, which will make the commands handle the contents of the binary byte array. So if I do it like this, you see it's binary byte array. I put the array isn't really good to look at, but I put it in a variable. So I can handle and I can use that as a as a binary byte array. Finally, we have one limitation of the provider framework. Isn't not something with just this provider is that the actions isn't allowed between different provider types. So I can't copy a file from the file system into the to the SharePoint site with the copy commandlet, for example. However, you can work around it with some content commands and piping. So if I do it like this, this will copy the content of the test image down to my C drive. Take a few seconds. However, the get SPO file and add SPO file probably works better and is faster. So this is maybe just for if you need to use these commands or scripting or something. Okay, that was a very short about the SPO provider framework. Please try it yourself. It should be like normal file handling in PowerShell. If there is any questions.
It's actually, yeah, so thank you, Morten, for this one. Absolutely brilliant stuff. We still want to have Ruddy to do a 3-minute teaser on the ASP.NET Core stuff, and we promised Ruddy to have that 3 minutes. It is super, super interesting stuff as well in a slightly different side. But if there's any questions, please use the BMP Yammer group. And Ruddy, feel free to steal the presentation then. Thank you, Morten. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Vesa.
We will go slightly long today. Unfortunately, we had that audio and connectivity issues when we started, but let's try to keep it short. If Ruddy can do that, he quite rarely can do that. Let's see.
Yes. Okay, so does everyone hear me okay?
Audio's all good.
Okay, so what I actually wanted to show, and it sounds like we're going to have a bigger demo next time, is getting SharePoint authentication for apps working with ASP.NET Core.
driving it through the core framework middleware and essentially achieving what the token helper class and the SharePoint context classes achieved in the MVC 5 days or in the old ASP.NET days. So the solution you'll find in PNP under solution/ASP.NET Core Authentication. Here's a quick example of how you typically use it. You have your ASP.NET Core application. It's this one here, .starterweb, it's included in the solution, which is your typical MVC bare-bone application with all its gulp and bower and whatever things you typically get in the out-of-the-box template. And you have this new library called Office Dev PNP Core Framework Authentication. And this is where all the ASP.NET Core middleware classes are based, and they're all based on the actual ASP.NET Core assemblies and so on, and using the exact same paradigms as a typical authentication handler as part of ASP.NET Core that you can use today, for example, OpenID Connect or Auth2 or Google or Facebook or whatever. So this is how you typically plug it in, and the design goal here was we want the developers to write the same code that they've been writing in maybe an old school MVC and in old school SharePoint apps. So we have your typical authentication middleware use syntaxes to register. Here I give it a name for the cookie. We also want cookie authentication. I'll explain why that happens next time. We get the configuration of the client ID and client secret, just like we'll do a SharePoint app from the now app.config file. I'll share, open that. We have events for when things authenticate and we succeed, so we could do application-based processing towards those things. And that's all you need to do to register the middleware for authentication. In a typical controller, I hope everyone here is familiar with this particular set of code. We have taken the SharePoint context classes that you would typically get with the SharePoint app, converted them or rewritten them actually to use the new ASP.NET Core mechanisms, the way it stores session, the way it processes query string parameters, and you'll write the same code, obviously against the new namespace and libraries, as you would typically do. And the context provider uses session and the SharePoint cookies using the cache key the same way it did in typical SharePoint apps. We've just adapted it for this. A few interesting things, so how we configure client ID and secret. So this is just a quick way you mark SharePoint authentication is what we've called it. We might change these settings to something with PNP. And basically, there you have it. The solution is part of, let me just find it. It's right here. It's got a README file to show you how to set it up and what you need and what you don't need to do. This is the first build of it. It's built towards RC1. Currently, and for the next master release, we've got RC2, the RCT port happening. And hopefully for August, we're going to get RTM as part of ASP.NET Core, and we'll rewrite this for RTM. That's the current plan, and that's how everything's going. I really need much more time to go into the details, but I think we'll leave that for next time. And that's just a quick teaser of how we've done something that you could use to authenticate with ASP.NET Core. It's pretty rock and roll. You can see all the source code in the repository of how we've built the actual handler. So, yeah, feel free to test it. Feel free to give feedback. And, yeah, great stuff.
And thank you, Roddy, for that one. And we do apologize that it was really, really, really fast. We had those small audio and technical issues when we got started. But now, just to quickly reiterate on that one. So the current token helper and ASP context class, which we have grown to use in the ASP.NET classic way of doing development, they do not work with ASP.NET Core. And what that one is showing how to do the stuff in ASP.NET Core. And release candidate 2 of ASP.NET Core is out right now, right, Roddy?
Yes, it came out quite a while ago.
And then the RTM is coming out, well, sooner or later. So,
yeah, release date is set to July.
Okay, cool. So pretty soon. pretty soon. But anyway, let's have another session on that one in the August community call. Just a quick reminder, we started the session, we mentioned this one, we started today. We will not have a July 2016 master merge. We will not have a July community call either, because the majority of the core team is on vacation or switching between locations and all of that. We will not do any webcasts or BNP community calls in July, maybe in August. We'll do a communications out of this one. JavaScript core special interest groups, they will go on during the summertime as well. So that will be, the, if you're interested on JavaScript development, the special interest group weekly calls are ongoing during summer. Everything else will be in halt, and we'll restart things in August. And in August, we can actually start talking, truly talking about the SharePoint framework. Everybody should have access on the latest and greatest functionalities as well. But I think that's it for this month. Sorry for the technical challenges. We went slightly wide or long on the timing perspective. Thank you for those who are still in the call and those who are watching the recording afterwards. But if nothing else, have a great summertime if you will have a summer vacation. And we'll continue working on the GitHub and also in Yammer Group during the summertime as well. But thank you, and thank you for all of the presenters. And let's stay in touch. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.